peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Well, hello. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. This is episode number 155, and a good one, a packed one today, coming up on the show, an exciting sneak peek at my upcoming book, Choose Hope. It's one of our contributing writers joining me today on the show. If you've ever dealt with grief, loss, anxiety, mental health issues in your family, in your own life, this is especially important and I believe powerful, a segment you will not want to miss. A dear friend of mine, a friend of the show, back to tell us about her reflection as a contributing writer in the upcoming devotional. So you are getting this first look, this exclusive sneak peek as we sit down with this special writer. Also, we're going to hear from Catholic speaker and writer Greg Wazinski. He recently launched an interview-based series. His first guest, the pilot program, sitting down with Hollywood screenwriter, the guy that wrote films like Basic Instinct and Showgirls, Joe Esterhaus. But he is not who he was. He had a major conversion, had throat cancer, almost died, and now has settled far away from Hollywood to live a very quiet life, a daily mass attendee, and had a profound conversion. And we have a clip, his story, his life, you don't want to miss that, from a new series we're also going to catch up with Greg. So a lot going on today. Let's get to it.
Anchor of my soul, keep me from drifting on my own. You are the light inside the storm, pointing me home.
Hold fast to the hope that lies before us. This we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and firm, which reaches into the interior behind the veil. That is our anchor verse, Hebrews 6:19, for the book Choose Hope. And I cannot wait to bring this to you. The release date tentatively set for November 27th. We'll be taking pre-orders, though, very soon. And as promised, in the meantime, I want to share some of the stories that you will read about in the book. We have over 50 contributing writers from all over the world who essentially are sharing about the moment they chose hope, to keep going, to not quit, to never quit. And one of them is a dear friend who also contributed to Choose Joy, our first devotional that was out last year. She made an appearance. You may recognize her voice, her story on the podcast a little over 3 years ago after her daughter, Evie, died suddenly. And she's one of my closest friends, one of my best friends in the world, who suffered this unimaginable tragedy. And I know many of you have prayed for her family over the years. And so I'm honored to bring her back on. It is my friend, Jen Gerber. But this time around, that's not all. In addition to her entry, Jen joined me recently, and so she's going to talk about that. We've got a few others to share, really interesting perspective to tell you about. So this was a segment we're going to listen to that we recorded together as she talks about Choose Hope. Take a listen.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For the book Choose Hope, the readers are in for a treat, I think, times three. From the Gerber family, not only have you written a reflection, but your husband, Chad, Dr. Gerber, an Augustan theologian, a graduate of Oxford, a professor, your daughter, Eden, and you have all shared what I think is really powerful, because for the readers, what they'll see is, I believe, a synoptic effect, observations derived from the same experience, but how you each process that in very different ways. And in this case, that experience was the sudden death of your daughter, Evie, in 2015. And so I want to talk a little bit about each one of those entries. This is really special, I think, for our audience to
be able to open the book and see the pages in a very connected, powerful way. And so I want to get to what Dr. Gerber wrote. I want to get to what you wrote, but I want to begin with your daughter, Eden. Mm-hmm. And this was the loss of her sister, her best friend, and in the aftermath, something that is still daily a profound impact on her life. Could you share a little bit about what Eden decided to write about for Choose Hope?
Right. Well, about, I guess, maybe 2 years after Evie died, we started to notice some signs of depression and anxiety in Eden. She started to not be able to leave the house much and just really tied up in knots with anxiety. And in the end, we took her to get some help and realized that she was actually struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder and also anxiety and depression. And I think she's only 12. So for a 12-year-old girl, she doesn't have a lot of friends who have had these experiences. She was present when Evie died. And so she's pretty isolated because of the anxiety. So for her, writing is an outlet to express her feelings, and writing music and things. So she has a really unique perspective in the book, in what she wrote about her experiences struggling with these issues. And I think she does a really good job of just helping you to get into her mind and see what that looks like on a day-to-day basis and how she finds hope in going toward the light and getting out of a situation that feels like it's going to take you under.
In the preparation for release of this book, we have even heard from physicians, practitioners who have said, you know, I might want to somehow get this book in my office. And I think in regards to young adults, what Eden has to share is so, I think, almost unusual. It isn't very often that we hear from the point of view from a young woman who has post-traumatic stress, but I think it's so much more prevalent than what we even know. When I was meeting with my daughter's teacher, she talked about the training she's had because so many of her students have had post-traumatic stress in some form because the opioid addiction is so prevalent and some of the trauma they've been exposed to at the home. We know mental illness rates, mental health rates are skyrocketing in that young age. And so I think her voice is so needed. Mm-hmm. And as Eden's mom, you read what she wrote. How did that make you feel? Because you live every day with what she struggles with.
Well, I think for me, I recognized that post-traumatic stress, anxiety, it all feels very overwhelming and confusing. And she uses the imagery of being caught up in a raging river in her reflection. And I've been in a raging river before, whitewater rafting, and I think that image came to mind, just being beaten up against the rocks when you fall out of your raft, not knowing where you are, not knowing where the surface is or how to come out of it. And I think as a mother, I have 5 living children. You know, life is chaotic, life is busy, but you're focused on what's in front of you. And sometimes it helped me when I read her reflection to step back and see how Eden might be perceiving all of not only the chaos within our own home, but the chaos within herself, and it really just helped me to see that it's a lot more overwhelming than I even realized for her.
And she so beautifully allowed us into that in what she wrote, and I have no doubt that it will help every person who reads her words. Dr. Gerber is a scholar. He writes a lot of intellectual, deep, theological, beautiful things. Here, though, in this book, he writes as a dad. Can you take us into a little bit of his reflection and thoughts?
Yeah. Well, Chad really is good at taking large theological concepts and breaking them down in an understandable way for his students and for anyone who talks to him. And he never comes across as somebody, you know, is overly heady and academic, which I think is his gift in teaching. And so he's writing about the resurrection, and he talks about Jesus defeating death and that death being the worst thing That's how he starts his reflection. And he just takes you into that day. What was that day like for the disciples? You know, as they're running down through the streets, he gives you that imagery of their beating of their hearts and the quickening that they felt, and how that relates to our own resurrection and the reunion that we will have again with our daughter and with all of those who we've lost. And I think he just really gives a good image of what that will look like and how that will feel.
Very much. It's one of those where, as I was reading through, I wanted the book just to be here, to be now available. And I can't wait for that day, because, you know, every now and then you are witnessing something really special and beyond us. And that's how truly I feel about this book. And then there's you. And our listeners who've been longtime followers of the podcast may have heard you a little over 3 years ago on the program, because in hearing the news about Evie, sharing it with the listeners, the outpouring of feedback that we received in the prayers, you were kind enough, even in the midst of your sorrow and grief, to share a little message of thanks and bring us into what you were going through. Here we are now. It's hard to believe now. It's almost 3 years later. And you were in the book Choose Joy, Now Choose Hope. And if you would mind telling us how you're doing 3 years later and what you share in the book. Mm-hmm.
I think that the last 3 years have been pretty intense for us in terms of life circumstances. We built a house, we had two babies, and our children have been struggling with mental illness. So we've been living one day at a time, just trying to put one foot in front of the other and keep trusting God and hoping in God, even when we don't quite understand why things are happening or what the outcome will be, what it's going to look like 5-10 years from now. And I think that that's ties into what I wrote in my reflection as well, because I talk a little bit about just our day to day in homeschooling with the children and how, as a homeschooling mother, there are a lot of things that need to be done on a day to day basis. And sometimes I am trying to accomplish the next thing on the list. But when I step back, I realize that my vocation is really about teaching my kids about the Lord and bringing them into heaven. And so I just go into a little bit about how we always made time and still do every day to read about the saints and to read scripture together, and how that was a part of Evie's life when she was on earth. And just how the saints have been such an inspiration to our family and to her, and have inspired us and inspired her in her life to strive to be the best Christian that we can possibly be. And it gives us hope to keep carrying forward, even in the midst of great suffering, which a lot of the saints did suffer greatly, and how even that vocation of just being a mother or being a simple child who is loving other people is a huge one. Even we're not a doctor, you know, might not be a doctor, we might not be a philosopher, we might not have all these degrees, but we're still very vital to the body of Christ.
You know, one of the sneak peeks I'll offer that really stuck with me about what you wrote in your reflection was how sometimes chores would be completed and you didn't know who did the chores, and it was Evie, and how she had this little way, and it was just naturally in her, of blessing others. And that for me has been every day, I think, something that I've thought of, because as a mom, sometimes I can get the martyr complex where it's like, oh, you guys, I am not your slave, please. But really, it's a privilege to look after our children, and to, as we were just talking about at breakfast together, the vocation of hope. And that is not always easy. In fact, that's a big theme in the book, that we as Christians do not presuppose that hope is easy. It's hard. But through the stories and the witnesses and the living lights of those testimonies, it's always been this way. Job has been a great burning candle of hope through great suffering. And I know he has become, you know, such a companion and a friend. And that there's something about knowing if they can do it, I can do it too. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what this book is filled with. And despite that, it's not a sad book. I think it's quite beautiful. But I thank you for sharing it. I know it comes at great cost to be able, each one of you, to go into some really difficult things and bring it out and share it with others. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I was really excited to be able to contribute. So
we can't wait.
Yeah.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
So I remember in August being pretty low as news about the scandal of the church broke out of Pennsylvania. We covered it. There continues to be fallout. And it's something that when Father Nathan Cromley was kind enough to join me on the program to talk about, he offered some words of insight that I have clung to. And that was, heal the broken hearts around you. No bishop or priest has the same sphere of influence as you do. Those souls that you come in contact with every single day are where we can start. And so it's been really inspiring to see those stories, the projects, the prayers, the social media initiatives as we seek restoration and a revival. And someone who is in the field doing that right now is Catholic speaker, writer Greg Wyszynski. You may also recognize his voice through his daily segment on Sirius XM Radio's The Catholic Channel with his Faith in Real Life Moments feature. He is the creator of a new podcast for men, a new video series that we're going to talk about, and an upcoming event about leadership, which I am excited to be a part of. And so he took the time to join us today. Welcome, Greg, to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. How are you?
Great. You've got a lot going on. Thanks for making time. You know, you speak all over, but for those that don't know your story or haven't heard you, could you share a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, you know, I came into ministry. We're actually celebrating our 10th year of ministry coming into 2019.
Congratulations.
And thank you. I was somebody who didn't have this plan. It wasn't in my deck of cards, or so I thought. And I was just a business executive living the life to try to get the things that I thought I was entitled to, because I worked hard and that was going to be the way that I was going to be successful. And God had other plans. And he eventually knocked me down far enough to see that the gifts and the talents that he had given me and the way that I was called to share those gifts was through spreading the gospel and to inspire others into a life of faith where I could share my own story. But also more deeply connect with them, their pain point and their struggle. You know, our Catholic faith and that Jesus Christ is the way to ultimate joy, truth, and happiness.
A big leap of faith for a decade and then where you are now. And I think especially where God's called you to speak to men. And I know you speak to youth, teens, families, everybody. But what you're doing now in particular, I love, because it's so needed. And I want to start with your interview-based show, your YouTube mm-hmm. show that you're doing. It's called Let Me Ask You. I saw it on YouTube, and I watched the pilot, the interview with Hollywood screenwriter Joe Esterhaus. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so a couple years ago, I was sitting after a long season of parish missions, and I was very sad in one way that, you know, there was 9,000 people that belonged to this parish, and we had 500 people. It was a beautiful crowd, and I couldn't figure out what made me so upset about it. But the 8,500 really troubled me. And so I thought to myself, as a ministry, what are we going to do to spread a gospel message outside of live presentations? And one of the things that became a dream was to do a video television show. Obviously, what other kind of television show would there be? But a television show that was an interview-based show in which I could integrate some of the live presentation pieces that I offer. So I could take whatever subject that I was doing with the interviewee and then intertwine some scripture or some catechism and expound on that point. And so when I had a chance to connect with screenwriter Joe Esterhaus, I knew that I wanted him to be the first guest of this pilot episode and to hear a story about a man who took the gluttony and all of the fame that Hollywood offered him, and to a point that he became an addict and turned his back on many of the things that he really wanted to be in life. To see somebody like that ultimately say, you know what, I can't do this without God, I think it is a story that every person needs to hear, that no matter where they are in their life, they cannot run from the love of God. And if they just stop running long enough, they find the happiness that they're really after in the simple things of life. And that's what Joe's story is. And so let me ask you, is just, it's an interview-based show that are going to be 15 to 20-minute segments. And they're going to offer not only a chance for you to learn more about some celebrities and everyday people, but to hear some evangelization along the way.
I love the template that you have. And I want to actually play a brief clip from your program, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And and on a screenwriting level, no one had really had that kind of success. You know, I wrote 18 films and did innumerable interviews and became a very public figure as a screenwriter. And it does fill you up, certainly with non-spiritual values. The emptiness that I felt overcame that. And it was an increasing feeling of, is this it? Is this all there is? With that kind of success, there is also a wonderful biblical phrase that I really love, and I think it's very true. It's the glamour of evil. You know, and I was very attracted to that, both in my writings and also in my personal life.
He's talking about the glamour of evil there. And at one point later on in the interview, as I was watching, he talks about interviewing Charles Manson and also growing up in a refugee camp, and how those two instances, he could feel evil. Evil was palpable. And his own battle. And as I watched it, I thought, as a man, what a powerful witness he has. He is a living witness. Who would most benefit from his testimony? Because as you were interviewing him, I'm thinking anyone who has struggled with addiction, depression.
You know, my spiritual director, who's a good priest friend of mine, said to me that so often he sees that I'm trying to reach the guy that I was 15 years ago. And that pains me. You know, that I don't want to say that it haunts me. That's pretty rough. But I'll tell you, it keeps me up at night, that I say, what would have connected with me 15 years ago so that I didn't have to make some of the mistakes that I made? And that there were times that, as the father of an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old now, when they were young kids, that I wasn't present. I was too busy pursuing my career and thinking that those things were what was going to fulfill me. And so this is really a message for anybody that is placing anything above God. I say it in this interview with Joe in my evangelization piece. Catechism number 27 tells us, we were made by God, for God, to return to God. And anything that we try to do outside of Him, we can't be fulfilled. And that's what Joe tells us. Joe just became an addict and took it to another level. But this interview, I want somebody to be able to watch it and go, you know, I connected with some of that, but my brother needs to see this, or my sister, or my friend who is just making choices outside of who I know he is. He's got to see this to have the courage to say that if the most glorified, lust-filled Hollywood screenwriter of the 90s can be transformed, you know, letting go of the bottle for just a few minutes should be possible in your world too.
You know, I forgot to mention that. We talked about his Hollywood success, his fame, but that he is the writer of films like Basic Instinct and Showgirls and so many others that generation would immediately say, oh yeah, you've got my attention. And then to be able to have his story, his witness, draw them deeper is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a great story.
So how many of these programs do you have? What can we expect from your season?
So we're excited about that. In my quest to not sleep, we've recorded three pilot episodes. We've recorded three pilot episodes that air this fall, and the next one will come out on November 1st. And our plan is to release them monthly right now on the first of the month, and those will continue to roll out. If you've ever seen the Netflix series Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, like, it's not that comedic. It's got a serious tone, but it's that casual conversation that just I hope that I convey my genuineness and my own vulnerabilities in that conversation as much as I'm asking the person who I'm interviewing.
I think you do. And the one episode, the pilot I saw, I really liked it. And it's called Let Me Ask You. We can find it on YouTube. Get the updated.
You can go to the website. So if you go to the website, so Let Me Ask You, so letmeaskyou.com will take you to the page. But also if you search on YouTube or just put in the title and all the episodes will come up under one playlist.
Great. And then your leadership conference. Super excited about that. I'm going to be a little piece of it. And it is for people who are in Ohio. I know we have listeners all over the country, though. So tell us about that. And if someone isn't right in the Cleveland area, is there any way after the date of this event, and we talk about it and unpack what it is, that people can be invited to hear these awesome speakers you have lined up?
Yeah. So actually, we just got a request. We sold some tickets to Pennsylvania today.
Oh,
so we
that's
have some
so awesome.
People are traveling. Yeah. So, and you don't play a small part. You play a large part because you are a beautiful soul. And when we really talked about what do men need to hear? I knew that they needed to hear you. And wow. You popped into my head, and you have the ability to connect with people and meet them where they are. And so what we're trying to offer men is 5 presenters in 2 hours giving their best 20 to 25 minutes of inspiration and faith that lets these men know that, A, you are a leader. Whether somebody's watching or not, you are leading somebody today, whether it's in your home, your workplace, your church, your family, you're leading. Like it or not, that's your role. And second to that, not second to that, actually superior to that, is who is leading you in the process? And if it is not Jesus Christ, if it is not your faith that is the foundation of these choices that you're making in the leadership that you're giving, then you need to think about what you're doing. So as intense as that sounds, it's a casual evening. It's just a chance to come together and sit back and relax, shut out the world and say, feed me. Yeah, I know that we all have insecurities. We all have things we struggle with. And there's probably ways that I can grow in my relationship with Christ. Or maybe I don't even have a relationship with him. But I know I need one.
And I think the way you've constructed the night, it's good because you've got such a diversity of speakers and they're not talking too long. I could see as I'm looking at each one of these names, it's like, oh, hear them longer. You know, we've got 20, 25 minutes. There are these awesome names from Elvis Gerback, the former quarterback, to you have an executive coach. I mean, some really great people. And it's an honor just to be there. But I also, as a mother of sons, I have 4 sons, obviously my husband, am so excited. You know, I kind of feel like this is my Braveheart moment to get in there because, yeah. You know, as women, as a woman, the burning desire of my heart is that they are affirmed in their vocation. And for you, as someone who is curating this event, have you had any takeaway or epiphanies as you've put this together?
Well, when I travel the country, the number one comment that I hear is from women who come up to me after a presentation and say, I really wish my husband would have been here. And so for the ladies that are listening, be the encourager, be strong. So often the invitation is one thing, but to look at somebody in the eyes and say, honey, I want you to go for me as much as I want you to go for you. And I believe in our faith that deeply. And so knowing that pain and knowing the hurt and hearing the stories of just faith-filled women that need that strong male influence to step up and to help journey with them, not separately, but to journey with them, is really a motivation that set me on this motion to say, I can't wait for somebody else to put this together. We need to sponsor this as a ministry. I can see what I want. We are hosting it at a first-class theater that is quality. We want people to be comfortable. And Brooke, you embody part of the environment that I want to create, because I think that when people walk away that night, when men walk away, they will go, oh my gosh, those people are just like me. This faith is attainable. It's not like I felt like they were holier than me or they had it all together. I felt like they were like me.
I'm glad that when you see me, you realize I don't have it all together. That's what you said. But it's true. I do. I do agree. And in how important it is that we kind of lock arms and go forward. So it's exciting. And to get more information, do we visit your website?
Yeah, you can go on the website. There's a link to it under faithinreallife.com. But if you want to go to just the event directly, you can go to leadmetoday.com.
Okay, wow, lots to ponder. Thank you to my guests today on this week's episode, Jen Gerber, Greg Wazinski. Next week's show, really excited. These names, you wanted it, you asked for it, and here they are. Really special guest, writer, speaker, one of, I think, the most recognizable faces in the world of Catholic women's ministry. That's Danielle Bean. She has a brand new book out, so we're going to catch up with her and tell you about that too. And also want to get you caught up on some personal news in my life and my family. So that's going to come up on next week's show. Thank you, as always, to our mighty Podbean patron family, our GTR good friends of the show who keep this show going. You are prayed for every day. Your support is why this show is here. If you would like to become a Podbean patron and give to the work of Good Things Radio, it's super easy. There's no minimum. There's no maximum amount. And the details will be linked up in the show notes. Just click the link to become a Podbean patron. Also consider, if you haven't yet, leaving a review on iTunes, a positive review, sharing the episode too with others you think would be blessed by it, who would benefit from the content of this program. You can share on social media or whatever way that you can text it. I know there's a little share button. I've been doing that lately with podcasts that I like, sharing it to my husband or my son. Easy thing to do. Also, thank you to my producer for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark Cumming is a producer extraordinaire. So for any audio work you may need, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. May we all be reminded, through the muck and the mire, the grief and the sorrow, to choose hope, our firm foundation on which we stand. Until next time, friends, God bless you. Peace and love.